Check out my new book, Coping Courageously, a heart-centered guide for navigating a loved one's illness without losing yourself. It's appropriate for you as a clinician, for your patients, and for anyone you know who has a seriously ill loved one or an aging parent. Check it out and tell a friend. Welcome to the Integrative Palliative Podcast. I'm Dr. Delia Caramonti, an integrative palliative physician. If you would like more tools so you can have happier patients and a more satisfying practice, you're in the right place. Our motto is whole person care for people with serious illness using all the tools that work. Let's get started. Welcome, everyone. Today, we're going to talk about the inner critic, which is a voice in all of our heads that says mean things to us. And it can be really subversive. We may not even really notice that we're hearing these negative messages, but it's the kind of message in our head that makes us feel anxious or ashamed or not good enough or, you know, all kinds of other negative emotions. And we can have a lot more control over the inner critic when we recognize him or her and learn to talk back. So some people feel like, oh, I don't have that. I don't even have an inner critic. I don't know what you're talking about. I'll bet you do. I'll bet you do, because most of us do. And those are mostly messages from childhood that we've gotten that are hidden inside the way we talk to ourselves so well that sometimes we don't even notice. So I don't know exactly what your inner critic is saying to you, but here's some examples of the kinds of things that inner critics sometimes say. So they may say, oh, you're not good enough, or you need to work hard to be valuable, or even you need to work hard to be loved. You're not lovable just on your own. Or you're not as smart as other people. You're not as smart as your sister. Or you're not that smart, but you do try hard. Or, well, you're not a beauty, so you better do well in school. Or you're only lovable if you're helping other people. I think that's a common one for doctors. You are only lovable or important or worthwhile or valuable if you're helping other people. The inner critic may say things like, why do you always mess things up? Why do you mess it up all the time? Or the inner critic may say things like, you're a faker. You don't really belong here. People are going to find out that you don't really know what you're doing. Or you're not as important as those other people or as worthy, worthwhile as those other people. Your inner critic may say, no one likes you. You think they do, but they don't. They're pretending. So these are the kinds of messages that we can get from our inner critic. Mean and nasty things. Things that you would never say to a friend, but you're saying inside your own head to yourself. So if you mess something up, do you ever find yourself going, oh God, you're so stupid. Why did you do that? That's the inner critic. And so we sometimes don't know why we feel so badly. You know, we embarrass ourselves in a meeting and we're so ashamed. Our heart is pounding. We have to go to the bathroom and we just feel sick to our stomach. If that happens, our inner critic is in there saying stuff to us like, you should be so embarrassed. They're laughing at you now. They thought you were smart, but now they know you're not. All kinds of horrible, horrible things that you would never say to a friend or someone that you care about. And once you start to notice what this inner critic is saying to you, you'll be shocked at how mean you are to yourself. And so this technique is really helpful for patients who are presenting with feeling stuck, feeling anxious, feeling depressed, feeling just yucky or stressed out, and they're not sure why. Often you can help people identify that they are having these really negative messages in their head. And once you notice it, you can do something about it. So one of the best techniques to manage the inner critic is first, of course, to know that it's there and to start paying attention. And once you start paying attention, you'll start hearing these negative things you say to yourself. And once you can notice that, you can start to construct a being of this inner critic. And it can be really helpful to name the critic. It can be whatever you want it to be. So I've had patients who named their inner critic someone from their past, or I have one patient who named her inner critic Penelope, and Penelope wore a big hat, like a hat you go to the races with, and looked down her nose at everybody and criticized everybody. I often recommend that people draw their inner critic. So once you identify him or her and you give it a name, then draw it if you feel able to do that. Or if you can't draw it, you can look on the internet for pictures of what this inner critic might look like. And it's funny to notice the things that patients choose. So sometimes they'll pick, like Penelope, they'll pick kind of a school marm kind of person who's just like critical of everybody. Sometimes they'll pick a monster, like ugly, nasty, big teeth kind of monster. Sometimes the inner critic is big. Sometimes it's small and kind of secretive. So it's really helpful for patients to identify how they conceive of this inner critic. And then once the inner critic has some sort of visual association and a name, then the patient can start to talk back to this inner critic. And of course, every time I say patient, I'm also talking about us, because we all have this too. Physicians all have this too. So once we have a visual representation of this inner critic and the inner critic has a name, then when it's mean to us, we can talk back to it. So if we do something and the inner critic says, "Oh my God, I can't believe you did that. You're so stupid. Everybody's probably laughing at you now." If that is running through your head, and now you can say, "Okay, listen, Penelope, back off. You know, no, you can't talk to me that way. Absolutely not. I don't accept that." And when we can separate that inner critic from us, and we can put it over there across the room, and we can talk back to it, we decrease the power of that negativity and change the conversation that's happening in our mind. When we don't even notice that it's happening, it's impacting us, and we don't even notice. We don't even know. But once we start to hear the voice, and then we can separate ourselves from the voice, then we have a lot more power to say back to the inner critic something like, "No, I'm not stupid. I made a mistake. And people make mistakes, and it's fine. Everybody makes mistakes. I'm a smart person. I'm fine. Leave me alone. Be quiet." And it takes away that power. It takes away the power of our own mind to make us feel terrible and to reactivate old wounds. Because a lot of the stuff the inner critic says probably comes from messages that we heard or picked up in our childhood or our younger years. So this is such a great exercise that you can do with patients. And you can counsel about this in just a few moments. You can just say, "Hey, the inner critic is the voice inside our head that is mean to us, that says, 'Oh, you're so dumb. Oh, you messed that up. Oh, everyone's laughing at you.'" And you probably have that patient. So start to pay attention to it and start to notice what kind of scripts or what kind of messages or words does that critic say to you? Because we all have probably 3, 4, 5 that recycle themselves based on our own experiences. So if you don't have much time to counsel them, you could say, just start to look at what those, listen for what those messages are. And next time, let's talk about what they are. And the next time the patient comes, you could say, "Okay, tell me about what the inner critic is saying to you," and they'll tell you. And then you can say, "Okay, now I want you to imagine what this inner critic looks like, and I want you to give him or her a name. And when that inner critic says something mean to you, I want you to talk back and say, 'No, you don't have the right to talk to me like that.'" And then go do that. And then next time you come for a visit, tell me how that went. It is a really powerful exercise that gives people much more control over their feelings. And it also helps them realize what their feelings are. And so sometimes people will just tell you about it. Sometimes you can assign them to talk to their friend or someone in their home about it. Sometimes they'll use a journal, which I do think is particularly helpful. Sometimes people write in the journal to the inner critic. So if the inner critic has been particularly loud and obnoxious lately, they can write in their journal to the inner critic, like, "You know, you have been saying really nasty things to me. You've been telling me that I'm not worthwhile, that I have to give of myself until there's nothing left in me. Otherwise, I'm not a worthwhile person, or that I'm not as good a doctor as other people. And I'm not having that, inner critic. You be quiet. I'm doing just fine. I need to take care of myself. I don't have to sacrifice myself for other people's well-being. I can also take care of myself," etc. So your homework is to try to locate your own inner critic. And what is that inner critic saying to you? And if you feel up to it, see if you can give him or her a name. See if you can imagine what this critic might look like. And then see if you can find one patient this week who might benefit from this conversation. Well, thank you so much for being a part of this movement of whole person care for people with serious illness. Together, we can create more satisfied patients and more satisfied docs. And I really appreciate that you listened. And I'll see you next week. Thank you so much for listening to the Integrative Palliative Podcast brought to you by the Institute for Integrative Palliative Medicine. If you liked what you heard, please give us a like, follow us, tell your colleagues, and join our community at www.tiipm.org. See you next week.